Lisa J here, and we're back with another episode of No Pink Spandex. So it's the four of us this time. It's myself, Tristan, Seamus, and Spy. So
we're the best, the best crew. Who needs that JR guy?
Oh gosh! As shots fired. Okay, this is
time for him to go.
Jesus, Mary and Joseph. So yeah.
See, that's what happened. Spy and I fought each other, but then we realized, no, we can take JR out
the
instead.
The true enemy is the long-standing member.
The long-standing male? Is that what it is?
That's right. The alpha male?
Ew, what? No.
Ew, no. Don't say that. That ends podcast.
No, we don't want that. Okay, so then he may show up. He may not. We don't know. So stay tuned to see what happens. But I would like to tease, right? We are recording this right after the news that dropped with the new team of Sentai peeps. Okay? Ryu Soldier? That's how we're saying it? Yes, Ryu Soldier.
That's how we're saying it.
So the news keeps a flowing even as we record. So we will talk about it at a later date, right? We want to make sure that all the information, because at the very first time they were like, it's this theme, no, it's that theme, and then we got a summary, and they're like, no, it's really both themes, but it's not. But it's so we want to wait for more information, and then we will talk about all the Ryu Soldier and everything and dissect. You know how we do, all right? So we want to acknowledge that we know it's happening, but we will get to it, because tonight. It's chock full of comics, y'all. Like,
all of the comics.
The comics.
Going to the backlog.
So
it's not that much of a backlog. We aren't that far behind.
I mean,
we are up to date. We do this about once a month, all right? Give or take. And so we are reviewing MMPR number 33. We are reviewing GoGo 14 and 15. And we will also be reviewing the graphic novel Power Rangers Soul of the Dragon. So, all of that. Get a snack, okay? If you want to pause, get a snack. Get your beverage of choice, all right? We're going to dig into these comics. Let's start off with MMPR, y'all.
So, the first question that I have, Lisa, how did you feel about Tanya's hair in this issue? How's it doing? How's it doing this time?
I mean, she could borrow some of her hair fashions from Ari. I'm just saying. Because Ari's got all the bounce and the curls and the zhuzh. And Tanya, look, you know, it's high. It's high. Tanya wasn't, like, the biggest focus of this one.
Okay.
It wasn't. And maybe for good measure, maybe. But overall, this...
I will say I actually like this one more than the others so far in this arc.
I
think this was the best one.
I am not surprised you said that.
Why is that?
Because of it's going back into, you know, how Ari has gotten to where she is today and the whole lore and the things and that sort of thing. And, you know, I figured this would be a Tristan issue right here. You know what
I mean? I mean, sort of. I mean, it touched on all of the characters, really.
You know, and go ahead.
Well, I mean, that was basically it.
See, for me, I'm reading this issue and there's a huge info dump / flashback about the Solar Ranger and everything. And on the one hand, I'm totally down for that. I'm like, okay, I would love to know who this character is. On the other hand, I'm like, I don't really know. Like, we've only barely met this character. You know what I mean? But there's like, oh my God, it's like over 10 pages of this issue is devoted to her backstory. And again, I'm not opposed to giving a new Ranger a backstory, but I'm like, we have all these other characters that I'm so much more interested in that we've seen from the show. Why are we giving all this time to someone we've never met before? Do you know what I mean?
It's a lot.
Agreed.
It's a lot. And So I have to say, out of all of the Beyond the Grid issues so far in terms of art, like
this is the best one.
Oh yeah,
it is so pretty.
They have multiple artists on this one, not the same one,
right?
So alone that we've had in the previous two.
Yeah, like they.
Yeah, like the eye look has been dialed back. We're not. Andros is an all eyeshadow.
I didn't even notice that. Yeah.
No, yeah, because illustrated by Simone DeMayo. Oh my gosh. You know what? I'm going to be butchering names, child. But there's a bunch of international artists here. In terms of the art, there was a bunch of artists that were collaborating on it. But it's beautiful. I mean, the paneling too, like, oh, it's just beautiful. It's nice. It's wonderful. I can see people's eyes. I know Cam is Cam. It's great. It's great. So, in terms of the issue, the content itself, is it just me or did it feel a little longer than the other issues?
I think the reason for that is the extensive backstory and the info dumping. So it's just so much talking. There's not really
it's
that much
dense.
Action.
It's okay.
Yeah. Okay. And that's the thing. I want to compare this for a minute, not to skip ahead, but the opening of Go-Go 14 has a flashback for Jason where you learn a little bit about his character. And I compared that to the very long flashback where we learned about, what's the Solar Ranger's name again? I'm so sorry.
Ilarion.
Yeah, like the thing is, her backstory takes up so many pages, and I'm like, you keep telling me things about this character, but you're telling me them, I'm not seeing a lot. But with Jason, it's like a 2-3 page backstory thing. I'm like, okay, because we've gotten to know Jason over these issues, and we're interested to see where he came from. Here, I'm like, I don't really care about her that much, and you giving me 10 pages about her backstory doesn't really endear me to her that much. I want to like her, but like, again, you keep, and when we've talked about this in the other podcast about MMPR, the comic, is that you have all of these other characters that I would love to see more of. Because, look, for me, I like pretty much all these characters. Mike, I never really cared for. So I'm like, what? You have a character like Mike who you could legit fill in so much about, but you're giving it to this random character.
And with Ari, I'll call her, I liked the previous issue with her and in the tavern and what have you. I liked it. I did. It intrigued me. It really, but then I just kind of felt like, yo, it kind of needed like an edit, you know, like some of these things could have been told with fewer pages. Like, I mean, I get the whole notion of like where the Solarix thing came from. Sure. But there are certain things I just felt like this issue, it could have been tighter in certain areas, and then it also could have used the many rangers that we have, like interacting with them a little bit more instead of, and in terms of showing their character instead of these type of lines, like ahem, Kim, right? Because I don't know, sometimes she go by five different names. She's like, I don't like having the thief who slurped up.
Yep.
Okay. Slurped up the Prometheus energy like it's an all-you-can-eat spaghetti just hanging out and hobnobbing on the ship, Heckle. And then Heckle says some foolishness. We have to give her a second chance, blah, blah, blah. And you're like, you have this knack for talking about other people when I get the distinct impression you're actually talking about. I mean,
that was so on the nose. I was like, oh God, no, this is so bad.
It's like, no, I was not talking about us. Yeah, thirsty chick.
Kim's got a thing for evil rangers turned good. That's her thing.
Yeah, she's got a thing for a lot of rangers in this batch of comics.
Just people in general, not even. Oh my gosh, I just don't. That to me, there's certain things where it is the characters that have already either been built in the comic realm or we've seen on television, what have you, that are not being shown, are not being displayed, or even not being even with their mannerisms. It just seems a little off than the original character, of course, you know, having 5 billion pages about her backstory, which, great, but I would, like Seamus said, being repetitive, that we don't really know her, so that's, we're not as invested in this 10-page situation than we would be, let's say, if you put that with, bloop, Tanya.
You know? Yeah, like, I'm of two minds about this. One, I'm totally fine with Boone doing new characters, new concepts. Like, this big evil force that's talked about later in the issue doesn't need to be, like, dark specters, you know, remnants or whatever. Like, doesn't need to be anything like that. But on the other hand, Power Rangers has such a rich and, you know, it has such a rich universe that you can really mine for stories that it just seems so weird that we're introducing all of this new stuff for a new Ranger when we just did a whole new Ranger thing in Shattered Grid. So it's like, let's take a moment. Like, we don't need to add all this new stuff so quick.
And like, interweave it, you know? I think Go-Go does it actually quite well, where you're like going back and forth and you're like, wait, don't end. Okay, fine. Okay. We're going to have this break. Okay. For maybe, oh, this is kind of interesting. Wait, don't end. And then you go back. Like, it does it that well to keep you interested, but then you're
always on the hook.
Exactly. And it is, again, Ari as a character, I don't mind her. I like her. I do. I actually do like her. I like that she is ethnically ambiguous. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Because
Akasi has a black girl, but like, you know, an Indian Kasi has, you know, what's up, my Hindu sister? You know what I'm saying? Like, it could be anybody could see themselves in her, which is great. However, I just believe that the characters that we do know, they're just a little bit they're not fleshed out. They're it's as if anybody could say their lines.
Hey, Cam actually spoke this issue, okay?
What do you want? I'm sorry. Cam spoke. My bad.
He said something this issue, okay?
My bad.
He said tech stuff.
He asked a bunch of questions. My bad.
Also, like, are they really pushing Mike and Tanya for some inexplicable reason?
Yeah, they have been, like, the whole time. Yeah, that's their story, I guess. Is that they're gonna be, like, in love or whatever. It's just kind of a weird thing because, like, these characters get very brief mentions, like, during, like, basically what would be voiceover if it was a show. While other people are talking, you know, like, we develop them while other people are talking. We just kind of check in on them a little bit and then have giant things with the new characters. And I said before that this feels like a second arc rather than a first arc. Maybe they only got one arc to do all of this, but I would have preferred to just stick with the characters we know.
There's an interesting idea when she's talking about the Solarix power or whatever. And she says, the thing is, the energy of the Solarix is so raw, so powerful, it glitches whenever I feel. And then it shows all six of the Rangers. And she says, guilt, fear, anger, doubt, distraction, even numbness. And I'm like, there's an interesting story there about that these six people all have their biggest flaws that they have to learn how to deal with, especially without their regular team around them. Mm-hmm. That's a really interesting idea and how these different members would bring it out of each other. But again, it's just sort of swept away for all this other stuff we've been talking about. But again, there's these interesting ideas there.
It would be great if we got that in the earlier issues of fear, doubt, distraction.
Yeah, I want to know.
Exactly.
I want to know what Tanya's doubt is. What's that about? Like, what's Mike's anger? What's that about? That he got killed? Like, what's going on there?
Yeah. It's like, this is one of my favorite pages. I mean, artistically, I think it looks really cool.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the arm going up and seeing everybody. It's just the themes, I guess, that it's trying to represent are barely noticeable, you know, with the page space that we've given to all of these individual characters so far. So it just kind of feels like it wants to be this big epic sort of representation of what the story is, but the story isn't really that right now. So it's just kind of like, well, it points for effort,
But Tristan, you were saying, and Lisa too, you guys were saying that you had things that you liked about the issue. What else did you guys like about it?
This issue? that was Tristan.
that was the previous one.
Yes, I like the previous one.
I just felt like this was just more character focused than the others. Really, that's all. and also the art. I just felt like there was way more.
Oh yeah.
Nuance to the characters' faces and their expressions and movements. And the actual original artist from the first two, I think, only did like a couple pages. I think it was like
you can see it in the last.
Yeah, you can see it
pages.
In the last.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, which and really, that was probably the best one for that particular art style, which is giant two-page spread of ships and big monster guy talking to them scarily. I think that works. That works quite well. And the end, the final panel of the thing.
Because it ended. Go ahead.
Because it ended. That's the rest of it. Well, no. It's like props to the artist for that particular one, because I think that looks absolutely beautiful, where it's like the seven.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Seven of them all together, and it's a completely white background with their shadows kind of going in every direction, like, and her saying, "Oh, it's morphin' time," right? That's an excellent end. Like, I think that's one of the better sort of ends to an issue that I've seen for a while. It's not the standard generic, "I'm a bad guy and I have an evil plan. Here I am in a full page spread" kind of thing, which I just find kind of tiring. I don't know. It's like, okay, so maybe we are bringing together all of the themes and characters and stuff for something okay in the end.
Was it the last issue of this comic where it was the last page with the big baddie looking like
Tommy? Oh,
it was.
Yeah, that was the last issue.
Okay, all right. So just keep that in the back of your minds. Just keep that little tucked, hidden away. So what do I like about this issue? It was a lot of forward motion, right? In terms of the big baddie, right? There's an actual threat that we are seeing with the big baddie, right? You know, at the end, because like the big baddie has been tracking their ship from since the time that first big blow up, and now the big baddie has arrived with all of his ships and things and what have you, and they're back at the Promethea and stuff's about to go down, you know what I'm saying? So forward motion, I'm appreciative of that. And talk about the art, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. And there was a nice variety too. It wasn't just space-based stuff. There was mm-hmm. this little earthy section.
Right, right.
It's beautiful.
Right, you know, I love me a Purple Ranger, y'all. So you know, anytime there's some purple action going on, then you know
purple
I like
Ranger
that.
With curls. What?
That's right.
Right up your alley.
Mm-hmm. that's where it kind of ends. And just for me, because that's where it ends. I mean, yes, sure, the ending was stronger than the beginning, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I just wish that this issue, I kind of almost want to know how many issues they got.
I bet it's six. That's my guess.
Because I feel like the reason why these things, again, being repetitive, the reason why that we are getting all of this info dump and maybe it's feeling like it has to happen this way is that this Beyond the Grid stuff is not going to last for too long. So
I just have to get it all in.
One of the issues is actually going to be a standalone about Heckle's origin. That one's
coming
up.
Yeah, that's
35.
So, yeah, so they got to cut something out, apparently.
I'm interested to see what they do with that. I'm interested to see what that's all about. Yeah.
And, well, so far, they have not done a great job with any of the characters that we know. So, I don't know.
But I'd much rather see, like, a 20-page backstory about Heckle than I would about the Solar Ranger, personally, just because I know that character.
Yes, it's actually developing the cast that was sort of advertised as, like, these are the characters of the book. Like, these are the leading people. So anything that focuses on them is probably better, or at least more enticing for me to read.
Well, sure. I almost wished they had done like a kind of like a go-go where there was some maybe flashback to flashback to, you know, a particular ranger's past, and then how,
like, each issue, like, like they have a main story, but then each issue it's like, first one, oh, here's Tanya's thing, next issue Mike's thing, next issue Cam's thing, so on and so forth,
something like that, you know, so that we know it ties into whatever they might be feeling, doing throughout this arc.
And it keeps the actual main characters in mind when we're doing all this plot stuff.
Right.
And I know that we had mentioned it in a previous episode, or we had touched on it anyway. Tristan had mentioned that this is like, oh, this feels like a second arc. To me, this almost feels like something from a third arc of a comic where you've been setting up this mystery for a very, very long time. And then finally you was like, okay, now all those clues that you had been getting, now we're finally going to lay it out. And if that had been the case, I would have been like, okay, cool. I'm like really invested in it now. But again, we're only like 3-4 issues into this. It's only like 3, right? Ugh.
32, 33? Question mark?
Yeah, so 3 issues. So it hasn't really earned that sort of thing. So again, on paper, the ideas of this are great. Like, I'm sure with the pitch, when they sat down, they said, we're going to create a new ranger. Here's her backstory. This is her design. Everyone was like, this is awesome. This is great. But if they only have 4 to 6 issues, to figure it out, then not as good. So I'm interested to see where this fits into the larger context of the MMPR comic. If once they get out of wherever they are and they get back to the normal universe, I assume Miss Ranger will go with them. What is her tie into that? Is this part of a larger story, or is it kind of like 6 issues and we're out of the place and forget about it? Like, what? I don't know.
The place, like, it was kind of interesting because, like, again, I mean, another cover that I absolutely love.
Where was that in this issue?
Keeps doing amazing covers that I just appreciate a great deal. But, like, looking at it, it sells it to me as, like, this big adventure. Like, okay, here are these characters traveling and going to, like, this weird other universe and exploring what's there. I don't know if we are doing that much, really. We're having the universe explained to us, right? but we're not really going and seeing it personally.
When it is being explained to us, it's being explained as some dying, desolate universe, whereas the cover looks like a very dense, rich,
Like, we saw this issue back at PMC, and we were like, yo, what? This team? All right.
Yeah. So there you go, you guys. There you go, you guys.
I'm with Cam. I'm battling my numbness.
Two points. Yep. I want to be able to see how far this is gonna go. That's it. That's all I want to see. And then we'll go from there. Anything else in the issue itself, either plot wise you know, that we want to point out before we move on?
Nah.
Like, no, we're good.
Well, there was, I guess, do we think that the end of this arc is just like everybody in this dying universe goes to Promethea and then they fly out? Like, is that the end?
Are we doing predictions?
I think,
like, we save the innocent people and then they leave.
Yeah, I think, and they're going to bring Solar Ranger with them, and that's going to be some. See, that's my thing, is that I still don't understand how all this ties into the end of Shattered Grid, when all the MPR Rangers were like in that other weird dimension thing and they're like, all right, guys, let's do it. It has to tie into that somehow, right? Mm-hmm. Or is this just a side?
Because we don't know what happened to everybody. I mean, technically, right, that universe might not even exist anymore.
This is beyond the grid. This right here, they do not have access to the grid. It is dark. It is desolate. They don't know. So this is, it's, I don't want to say side jag. This is its own little side story over here going on. So they don't know nothing.
I kind of wish that they had, and maybe this was too long of a lead time for them, I don't know, is that I kind of wish that all of these characters that we're seeing here had been seeded a little bit during Shattered Grid. Like, you gave Tanya like a little quick moment. You gave Cam a little quick moment. Mm. Just to then like set up why these are the ones that end up getting into Beyond the Grid. Like, we don't need a reason like, oh, they get hit with a beam or something. Like, just to sort of tip your hat to the audience to be like, hey, there's something big is going to be happening with them in a minute.
Well, it would have to be up to the editors and mm-hmm. the folks at then Saban, now Hasbro, to kind of like foresee, like, okay, well, this is
like,
what we want
really
to do.
Far in the future.
Yeah, this is what we want to do. Make sure, and then you tell your writers, make sure to insert A, B, and C because this is going to happen in D, E, and F. Yada, 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 yada. So it would be up to them to kind of like figure that out.
Yeah.
So you know, and sometimes you just don't know how an audience would respond.
Right. Of course.
You know, because there's certain things just like, okay, we're going to plan this way far in advance because we know the audience is going to go crazy. Like, we know, okay? When did this comic start? And what season did it start? I mean, season TV-wise.
Like, what was when MMPR, like the MMPR comic started?
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I want to say 2016, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that would be Dino Charge, yeah?
Dino Supercharge, yeah.
So at that time, like, they didn't know that like Heckle would be interesting.
Well, but by the time they were writing Shattered Grid, right, they would have known, because Shattered Grid started well after Dino Charge had ended.
Yeah. Right, but what's his nuts? I think Higgins. I think he said his pitch was, well, no, actually his pitch was he wanted to kill Tommy, but I don't know about the whole Shattered Grid situation. I don't know. But yeah, so yeah, you know, you are correct. You know, we could have gotten something a little later on, but
I mean, Heckle even being in this and being the Ranger that he is definitely feels like a direct response to what fans wanted mm-hmm. and didn't get in the show. Like, that's the comic like picking up the show's
picking up what we're putting down.
Missed opportunities. Yeah, exactly.
Gotcha. So, you know, so again, I think that there are certain things with 33 that we, most of us, enjoyed about it, but still have the same issues, still have the same problems that the previous issues had. So, we're just kind of looking for where this is going, because I don't know, man. Like, I mean, I read it. It happened.
I like the guest artists.
Yeah, keep them.
Yeah.
Keep them. Just keep, you know what? Just, you know, just keep, add more artists.
Well, okay. Let's not invite any old, you know, whoever.
The good ones. Right? Just keep
them. Right. Okay.
That. All right, let's move right along, shall we? Let's go to Go-Go. Issue 14.
Go-Go 14 starts off with your favorite character in this comic, Lisa.
It is as if. I remember the podcast clearly because I was ending off saying, I don't know nothing about Jason. Jason is boring. I don't give a damn. What the hell? What's going on? How on earth?
Perfect.
And they literally were like, here you go. Now,
we got you, Lisa. We got you.
I will have to say, out of all of the flashbacks that we've gotten, I will have to say this one was the weakest.
Are you serious?
You just don't like Jason.
No. It's not even the plot itself. There would have been some other words, dialogue that I would have chosen for the adult, the sensei in this, because it seemed like, well, hello. Well, I know why you're here. You're here because you're this and you're that and you're this and you're that and you're this. And you can learn from me. But if you don't want to learn from me, you can walk out that door. But hey, I know everything. I'm like, all right. Like, homeboy, I just met you. Like, sit down. Sit down. Okay? You know, so it was
He is aware of him, though, right?
Say that again?
He is aware of him, though. It's not like it's a stranger who just wanders in randomly.
I mean,
he knows who he is as he's coming
sure. I mean, he's aware of him, like, you know, like that kid from the block down the way on the stoop. You know what I'm saying? Like, but at the very moment, like, I just walked in, like, homeboy, you need to chill with, well, because you're insecure and you're weak and you're this and you're that and you're this and you're whatever and you're this and you're that, you this and that. I'm like, boy, I just walked through the door. Like, chill. I would have punched you too. So, you know, like that sort of thing. I'm just like, all right, adult, like, chill.
But he's probably had many students like that before. He's seen it before. Yeah. All these little children in Angel Grove, all these little punks, they come in and he has molded them.
Like, but what did Angel Grove do before the MMPR team was there, you know, holding like bake sales and crap at the youth center every week? It was just a lawless land.
No, right? But did you guys expect this type of backstory from Jason?
No. I think it fits, especially with what Gogo's been doing with the character. Yeah, with all his like sort of like, oh, I've done some bad stuff. Like, wasn't there like in the earlier issues he like broke some kid's hand at summer camp or whatever it was?
Oh, I don't remember.
I just remember the actual like Power Rangers movie where like, yo, like Jason is like pimp slapping people. I'm just like, no. My dude, chill. So I don't know if that's what they were gleaming there. I don't know.
Well, considering Ryan did write the Aftershock comic, you know.
Oh, right.
And if you want to hear more about that, go back and listen to our interview with him in a previous episode.
All right, just Google Schmoogle. Ryan Perot, just Google Schmoogle. Right, that is true. Okay, because that, as soon as I read this, I'm just like, this sounds familiar, and I don't mind it. I didn't
really connect those. I just thought, oh, this is an interesting way into the character that we know of, even from just the TV show, that he used to be more rough around the edges and sort of cleaned up his act.
Which I like. It makes him not just the squeaky clean kid.
And let me see. How many years ago was this? Let's see here. 6 years before. So maybe they're all freshmen in high school, give or take, right? So 6 years, 6 minus 14, 8.
Yeah, 8 or 9, something like that.
Yeah. I mean, sure, it's for me, and I'm not saying it because it's Jason, but it is a storyline, an origin storyline that is a little predictable. Oh, this kid who's rough around the edges, who's a bully, and now he's the most squeakiest of cleanest of every, like, not even 180. He did a just whatever, you know what I mean? Like, it was it's I'm like, all right, we're gonna reach for this. Say that again.
Is that predictable? I sort of feel like it's interesting because it's not so much. At least as far as Power Rangers is concerned, because I never really considered that he would have had a more troubled past and then fixed it.
And then turned around. Well, more like the predictable, I have a karate school kid with a troubled past comes in, you know, trying to think he know it all, and then he gets reformed by karate teacher / karate school. So that sort of thing we've seen time and time again. But again, in this particular scene or these different panels, it was more the adult I had the issue with and not Jason. So at the very least, like, the adult was, I'm like, all right, adult, like, get out my face. You too preachy for me. Get out of my face. So I felt for Jason. I wanted to punch him too. It's okay. It's all right. I got you, Jason. I got you.
I am also loving the Jason and Trini dynamic in these issues. Absolutely loving it. Love their banter. Because it's a nice mix of action. They're running around on a colorful planet like some other comics should have been doing. And just saying. And I totally believe them kind of falling for each other. I don't know how this will end up or if they'll become a steady thing. Because, well, we'll get to that when we get to the end of the next issue. But I'm interested to see where this will go in the future for Go-Go and where Go-Go is planning to go.
So go. This was planning to Go-Go. Anyway, nope, not going to mention off recording jokes that nobody will get. Okay, awesome. So the what is interesting is that when they fell into this new world, not only did they switch colors, but they also seem to have now they are more connected in the sense of knowing each other's thoughts, but not like constant stream of consciousness thoughts, but like every like now and again something will pop up. You know, and with on Trini's side, knowing that Jason is more, I don't want to say insecure. What's the word? He's more unsure of himself than what he appears to be to the team. It was an interesting thing that I enjoyed because, you know, you always see Jason being this, you know, I'm the team leader. I know what to do. This is what I'm doing. I don't know nothing about girls, but I know about this karate stuff and I know about this fighting stuff. I know this. But she is learning that, like, oh no, actually, he's winging it. and we'll see what happens. And then it happens. If it works out, great. And if it doesn't, he'll wing it again until we find a solution. So this part, I was like, oh, okay, I see what y'all trying to do. Okay. And, you know, anytime girls in red, you know, I'm just, you know, I'm all here for it, child. Okay. So, what else about this first issue? Oh, well, and then poor Trini. She getting a little too excited when she's realizing, like, oh, they had both had the same idea of, like, how to get in contact with their others. Like, oh, wow. Homegirl.
I feel like that was the first indication that actually they could read each other's thoughts.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Didn't know it at the time. So she got way excited.
She's like, oh, we're in sync. That means we're love. I mean, you know.
I love just the whole device of like them switching powers, and then that's how things are revealed about them that maybe would have taken longer.
Yeah, for real. You know, and that's interesting you say that because at first you're like, all right, ooh, they just switched colors. Okay, that's great. But then the whole notion of they're switching, it's just more than just switching colors. Like, this is how we're going to find out. Because Jason ain't saying nothing, so we got to find out some other way. So, okay, all right, yeah.
We also can't forget the greatest page of this whole comic when Zach demonstrates hip-hop keto.
Wow.
That was the... Because, honestly... Did he ever actually show it off in the original show? I don't remember it off the top of my head.
He did. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he did.
In the opening credits, it actually shows him.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, that move? Yeah. Is that the...
Yes, that's the infamous hip-hop keto move. Yes. That is...
But this, to me, I'm like, okay, no. I get it now.
He's like, I get it. And then the rest of them just like, yeah, like, when is Jason coming back? Like, what is this?
Honestly, reaction.
I know it would have been hard to do in like a drawn form, but I would have loved to see them draw like the shoulder roll or whatever that was.
Oh my gosh. I think they would I would bet that they tried to and you're like, nah, we ain't doing this. This is too hard. just let him do the flipty doos and the kicks and the
ballet.
Exactly. And call
it's beautiful.
Oh gosh. All right. So in this issue, one of the main arcs here, Rita Chow.
I'm a little confused by this. I'm not saying it's bad or I'm actually kind of enjoying it, but I'm a little confused what her relationship is to these alien people. Okay. And what's it was introduced a little haphazardly. I was sort of like, wait, what? I had to like go back and reread it a couple times.
Okay. So she, now we never, I'm going to go to the show, cause then I can reference what's different on the show. Her dad was Master Vile, right? And didn't look nothing like her at all, period, whatever. Fine. Her brother was Rita Revolto. Again, no, look, nothing like her, what have you. We never saw her mother, you know what I mean? We never saw her. And then Lokar, the dude that she's like, oh, praying to and all this other foolishness. So those were the, like, the people who would be quote unquote above her in some sort of relation to her that we've seen. I never saw a mother for her. I never saw, and we don't know who Master Vile's, like, her. No, not Master Vile. What did I say? It was her mother, and who else did we see? We didn't see, technically they did have a son, right? Her and Zed. Let's forget about that. Anyway, so
are you talking about her line where she's like, "Can a mother simply look on in on her children?"
I don't think that's literal. So okay, so then here I read it as that she is coming back to what she built, what she started, where she, you know. Was okay, spoiler alert, haha, if you haven't read the comic, where she was hiding the Green Ranger coin, okay? And she is coming back to a set of people who it actually might be, I'm just saying, you guys not saying it's literal, but you know, it might be her literal daughter. I'm just saying, that's the way I wrote it, not read it, right? Because we don't know. We don't know who she had, you know, relations with.
Because there is some dialogue where she's like, "Oh, you can't be the real Rita, right? Like, it's been so long. Like, I assume they're a very long-lived alien race." You know, it's hard to tell. I'm interested to see where Ryan is going with this. Obviously, it's going to tie into some bigger Power Rangers lore. I'm just like, oh wow, okay, this is different and interesting. For some reason, in some panels, I'm like, is this like a Scorpina thing they're trying to set up somewhere, like?
And then who are the people? There were two names I get. There was
Kedriel.
Is Kedriel?
Yeah.
Yes. Kedriel, and then the Briel. So the Briel are dead. The green. Who are the Briel? The Briel are the green people?
No.
The Kedri are the green people.
Yes.
Okay. And then so where is she? Did it say where she is? Is it on Briel?
I think like the Kedri were like enslaved, or they were like fighting against the Briel, and then Rita did something to liberate them or something, but this was like part of like her greater plan, like Zordon style. Like I said, it was a little hard to follow.
Yeah, but with every battle, every victory, the Kedri have grown stronger, and I am with them. Right, and this seems as if that this is Rita speaking. So yeah, the Kedri, the green people, got you.
Briel is the planet,
and Briel was the planet. That's what I figured. So
yeah, on page 12, she's the sovereign of the planet Briel. She is the 164th ruler of the Kedri.
Gotcha. And then the thing is, if you look at Homegirl's, what is her name?
Edriel.
Edriel. I mean, you look at her bodice. I'm just saying. And you look at her plumage. I'm just saying.
Yeah, there's a little bit.
And she's got a little dragon coin in her belt.
Oh.
Well, symbol.
Yeah. You know,
I mean, I don't know how much of that is they're related and just like the artist is taking inspiration from the design aesthetics of Zhu Ranger / MMPR, the original. So,
and you know, they were hiding this green ranger, this green dragon coin.
Yeah.
And all these people green, you know, yada yada yada. They look like dragons, maybe a little bit. More like elves, but whatever, you know, it's a thing.
But there's something interesting here that I do want to say is that we're introduced to a whole new alien race here, which I like. And but you might say, Seamus, like, you were just complaining about all this exposition stuff.
Yes.
But I will say that I like it here because it's couched in Rita. We're learning more about her and her backstory.
This is the big difference between what we had in Beyond the Grid just 2 seconds ago, and right here is where we're learning about a whole new chick. You know, these chicks, okay, they be taking over these comics. And so we be learning about a whole new person. Where she is, what she ruling over, and she's tagging along with this witch, you know, she's trying to get her people, you know, trying to protect her people or what have you, because she don't know this chick, you know, she just showing up. I don't know you saying who you say you are, but I don't know you. So we're learning about all of that, and we're still learning about a character that we know.
And it's intercut with several of the plot lines. There's the Jason and Trini plot line. There's everything with Billy, Zach, and Kimberly. There's even the stuff on the moon with, one is it, Squat or Babu? I can never tell them apart.
Bro, okay, so
Squat. I'm into that plot.
Squat is the squatty one. Babu is it? Okay. So, Finster, yo, Babu, child, this, at first you think like, oh, is he like joking, like, ha ha ha, but what is, I'm asking these questions, but am I really serious? But then like, nah, boo, like he really serious. He's really on this moon trying to be like, listen, this is what this witch did to my people. I ain't here for it. It is time for me to rise up. So great.
Yeah, it's good. I like it. Anytime the monsters want to backstab each other, I'm here for it.
It's especially Babu. Like, Babu and Squat in the original show did nothing.
Right. Yeah, so it's good to have him have a purpose.
Mm-hmm. And he's like calling things out. He's calling things out about Finster, and the next issue calls out things about Goldar. But it also makes me question, and even the thing with the Jason and Trini romance, the thing to me is, like, when you're doing a prequel like this comic, there's only so much you can do before you start going, okay, but why didn't they ever mention any of this in the later stories? So it makes me wonder, like, I wonder if Go-Go, because, you know, by the end of the next issue, they seem to be moving towards something that we've seen in the show. I wonder if Go-Go is going to keep going off in its own direction, and maybe because of the events of Shattered Grid, Go-Go will be allowed to go in its own direction that's different from the MMPR comic, but still have the MMPR characters. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I think they are.
Like, we just didn't realize this whole time it was in its own sort of version of events, its own universe.
But then, or maybe it was splintered.
But it tied into the Shattered Grid situation. So, like, you know, how much of that is...
My theory on that is, because they also did mention Matt in the main MMPR comic, is my idea, and maybe this is just overthinking it, is that perhaps when the Shattered Grid thing happened and Kim, the Ranger Slayer Kim, showed up, that here is where it gets nerdy, created a divergent timeline.
It works. I'm sold.
Oh, goodness gracious.
Because Go-Go has to have... But if Go-Go is just a prequel, then it has a finite run, right?
Like, yeah, exactly.
Like,
unless there are more prequels to tell.
Yeah, I mean, like, they can really stretch it out for a while, but to me, the logical endpoint for Go-Go, unless something big changes that we don't know about, the logical endpoint is right before Green with Evil, or they do their own version of Green with Evil, which, by the way, I would love to see. But by then, like, then you get up to where MMPR started.
Or they slow up how they're doing how they're going to the Green Ranger. They slow it up. They're not... going by days. They're literally like doing 24 style, like, hour.
they could like, you know, it's not like the show where, you know, you have one episode that maybe takes place, you know, it's like every week a new monster comes, right? Here it's like, no, we're doing some every single day, basically.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. I'm thinking more broadly towards the future, and I think that's the mark of a good comic, that I start to think about, like, oh, where is this gonna go, and what kind of stories are they going to be able to tell? So it's not a negative at all about how they're doing it. I'm actually very much a fan.
I mean, they could very easily just change the premise of Go-Go, and that instead of it being a prequel, they jump forward.
They could.
Which I would be completely fine with. If they reach a natural endpoint to what we're doing now, of course. I mean, not just do it, you know, next issue or whatever. But once you get to that point, like the possible start of Green with Evil or whatever, and then that's the end of, you know, volume one or whatever it is, chapter one of Go-Go, and then the next is after the events of Kyle Higgins' Metamorphin, you know, whatever.
Well, wouldn't that be interesting? Because there was that whole thing about at the end of Shattered Grid where they said, oh yeah, like things are going to be reset and some things might be the same and some things might be different. What if they get reset?
Right.
Yeah.
Interesting. Interesting indeed. I love the possibilities.
Or what if the reset was that the reset... Okay, again, getting really nerdy. The reset is actually took them back to what the start of what we saw was the start of Go-Go. And Go-Go wasn't the original form of events. Again, this is going way too into it. This is probably not it at all.
So Go-Go is now the main comic. I'm all for it.
Oh! And then MNPR just becomes Beyond the Grid, whatever. It's always Beyond the Grid forever. I don't know.
And then MNPR becomes Zio. I'm for it.
Oh!
Yes!
And it's just... But actually it's just the whole Tanya book. It's just all Tanya.
Okay, so back to this issue. I love the fact with in Finster's little lab, they have the wife is up in there.
Oh, what? I didn't notice that. What?
Shout out Trey Moore. Yes. So yeah, it's totally
where's the wife?
There.
Where's she?
So she. Let me see here. I'm trying to find the
panel. Oh, is that on the it's on the top panel on the bottom right?
Yes.
Oh, man. That's effed. I love it.
Yep. It's great. Cause it's Finster. Oh my gosh. You know what? I have to say that everyone who has written for whether it's like Mighty Morphin, Go-Go, whatever, they, yo, man, the Finsta love, yo, that Finsta love.
It's everywhere.
That's what I love about Go-Go is that it was very much pitches like, look, we can see the original MPR characters, but like somewhat stealthily, they've been like, no, here's all these stories about the villains too. Let's get you to care about these villains that you thought were jokes before.
Yeah. No, it's great. So Babu is up to his Babu stuff. Then meanwhile, right? Then Zach is hip hop keto in and people look at him like, bruh, like we are not impressed. Usually like back in the day, they'll be like, wow, that's so cool, man. But they were not impressed. In fact, they're like, we're Jason. Like, what's up? We want actual like.
This is not the class we signed up for.
Exactly.
We didn't sign up for hip hop class. What is this foolishness?
Oh gosh.
Go back to your 7-year-olds in the park.
Exactly. Get out of here. Okay. And the team, the three being Billy, Kimberly, and Zach, trying to deal with, you know, how to find them, how to find the others, what to do, how to get in contact with them, and they actually do for a moment. Un momento. But then the signal is cut off. So yeah. I guess we're nearly
so,
the end.
Now there's time for a skull.
Oh, yeah. Yep, skull.
Get a date. What?
Kim's trying to make Matt jealous. I love it.
It's great.
Yeah, like it happened. Like it actually happened.
It's happening. See, these comics are giving us everything we want. They're giving us Kimberly and Skull. They're giving us Tommy and Kat. They're giving us everything.
It's awesome. So yes.
These comics know.
I like that skull. He clearly, like, he asked her out, but he didn't really, really believe that it was gonna happen, and then it did, and you see like the excitement, you know.
I was like, wait, seriously?
It's cute.
Like she's saying, oh, even okay.
You sense that maybe that's not, you know, it's not gonna go the way he'd like it to, but it was adorable.
I mean, it's like in the original show, he was always like, hey, you want to catch the submarine races?
Like, girl, bye. Like, I'm not here for it. And then the time when it actually happened, they danced. Like, the build-up. and it actually happened in the show. I'm just saying.
See, these comics know like the true ships of this show. All right. Not this, you know, Tommy Kimberly foolishness. Nah. She thinks of him like a brother. All right, end of story.
All what right. What they did was not what brothers and sisters do.
Yeah, like Tommy just needs to write a letter back being like, so I got some questions about the things you did. Exactly. Tommy
like
brothers.
That, like that kiss? Like, what's going on?
What's with your family? That's...
Oh gosh. But then we're like, no, we're gonna cut to back to Rita because we have to go. Like, oh man, like there were so many different lines of what was going on in this comic, and you're just like, all right, I forgot. Oh yeah, we have to get back to Rita and what she's actually going for, like what's going on.
Temple of Repulsa. Whoa.
Yep. Dun dun dun. Yeah. Yeah, I wonder. So, Homegirl, before we get to the next issue, Homegirl is really just puffing her chest, saying, like, yes, I put these monsters and these warriors in to fight, even if it has to take me out. So, if I can't get out alive, then I wasn't meant to be going to this temple and getting what I need to get. And I'm just like, yo, Rita, wow. Like,
she's amazing.
You imagine if that was even an ounce on the show? Like, an ounce. Like, I was never afraid of Rita on the show, ever. You know? Except for the time when I was younger and then she started doing all them, like, seance-y, you know, spell things, the low carb. I'm like,
chanting into her skull.
That's the devil. I'm just like,
but she in this really feels formidable and alive, mm-hmm. and like a cool character, mm-hmm. Which maybe on the show sometimes she was just the chick who threw her wand, you know,
and had legs.
Yeah. But here it's dynamic. It's interesting. You're sort of afraid of what she's going to do next, but also impressed by what she can do.
And you're like, yo, what's in that big teepee? What's going on? What's happening? So, let's move on to Go-Go 15, y'all.
Trini backstory. Heck yeah.
Because at first just like, how come Homegirl's in Nashville? Like, what's up with this Nashville situation? I don't know about this.
She's running under planes, like trying to catch up with planes?
Yeah, and how is she not deaf? Like, I was like,
yeah, for real.
Yeah, although low.
I think you see her with earplugs in. I can't tell.
I think, but still deaf. What's going on? You know, and then who's this dude? Who's this Kevin guy? Like, I'm sorry. Why are you trying to be a Matt lookalike? Like, what's up?
all the extra characters behind. Have to look like Matt.
What, say that again, Spy?
He's the friend she had to leave behind. She has to leave them all behind.
All behind. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and he's like, I think you're the coolest girl in the world. Like, oh, you have no game. Just no game. What's up with that, man?
They're like how old? Like 10?
Let me see, 3 years before. So 11?
That's always the weird thing that I always have to forget about the MMPR Rangers, that they're supposed to be 14.
Yeah, 14, maybe 15, you know, ish. So
I believe it more in this comic, certainly, but in the show, no way.
Yeah.
Well, they were driving in season one, so I think they kind of messed up.
Well, in the PRU, you understand. You know, you can read all the you get your license when you're 12.
Of course.
Crazy.
You gotta get it younger because people die younger with all the monsters around.
Life expectancy is down.
Yep.
So I gotta accelerate that.
Pretty much. You can drink at 12 and you can get your license at 10. Hey! What's up?
Hey.
What's up? In this issue, like in the previous issue, you had Jason and Trini running away from these Kedri folk, right? And you know, and and Jason's like, yep, we're gonna jump, we're gonna do this. She's like, what, no, we're not gonna, no, just come on, we could do this. No, can we not? And then it's like too late, they're like jumping. Then you find out, oh well, they grabbed onto like some rock under a cliff, and so they're hiding from these warrior people. So it ended up working out that they're gonna follow them back to find the Rita and all these other things. But then, they are still, colors are still switched. So they still got this little telepathy situation going on where Jason finds out.
You're in love with me. I love her face in that panel.
She's like, no.
I love this artist so much.
Like, no, I don't love. No, listen, hey, crush, sure, but I put that to the side. You know what I mean? I moved around. My family moved around. I didn't know she was a military brat. See, that's how you, okay, MNPR, right? Let me just show you beyond the grid. Let me just show y'all how y'all kind of insert some things about a little backstory. I'm saying, little army brat, so she has to move around a lot to different places, and she don't want to get too attached to anything, and, you know, she always has to leave people behind, so therefore, even though she felt the way that she felt about Jason, she is like, nah, I can't do this, this ain't happening, ain't nobody got time, I'm out of here, let's go. That's what you do. Beyond the grid. It's easy, simple.
We can even say that to the actual show, because, I mean, we never really explored her in the actual Mighty Morphin Power Ranger TV show.
Yeah.
Before she was peace conferenced.
Right. You know, and she was all up on Richie, so you know, that was
a... Hey, you know, she had stayed till the end of season 3, she could have gotten a little Zeo quest. All right.
She could have. Don't know who. Oh boy, who it would have been quite hard where they would send who.
How offensive could they get?
How offensive?
Oh God. So you see, and then she would have been in the Turbo movie, and she would have been like, send my love to Asia.
No.
For anyone who doesn't know, there's a line in the Turbo movie script that was cut from the movie where Tanya says, when Tommy and Catherine go to Africa, she says, give my love to Africa.
Yeah. Awful. Yeah. At some point, I would like to review or go over the initial draft of the Turbo movie. Because, oh. Okay.
We'll tease.
Ooh, at some point. In the future. So then we are going back to...
So, are they setting us up for the rad bug being the thing that saves them?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's gotta be.
Yeah.
It's like a dimension-hopping rad bug.
Yeah, because...
Which at least makes sense, because, like, oh, just a car that flies is not exactly...
Not helpful.
No.
Like, y'all can tell them.
So, yeah, I mean, like, yeah, Billy's talking about this, oh, well, I got this clunker, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm like, Zach's like, boy, you can pimp your ride, brother. You're a genius. You can put a whole bunch of stuff in there. So, oh, my gosh, I like the idea that it's Zach who is coming up with the idea.
Without really fully realizing, like...
So.
Like it's not that just Billy is the smart one, figures out everything. Is that sometimes he needs, you know, like the regular people around him to be like, oh wait, that's such a simple idea, I didn't think of it.
They need simple people.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, a genius.
I'm
like
saying that
you.
About everyone else on the team, right. You know, like
a genius like you with some super advanced alien tech in your car. Duh. Hello.
Common sense.
Gosh, I can't wait to see the red bug. Oh, it's great.
I mean,
There's not going to be, it's the only way to fly. Come on, you gotta have it. It's iconic. The Zach, like, leaning into Kimberly.
Oh, jeez. Lord. I can't wait. No, you don't understand. Like, anytime they had the red bug, it was like, it was, yes, cheesy, sure, but they made it their own. They did. It was cute.
I mean, they made it.
Oh, goodness gracious. Yeah, but they sure got rid of that real quick. They were like, all right. like, we're done with this Rad Buck situation. We're over. It's a wrap.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah. So then Kimberly and Skull are in the car, being all awkward. Awkward times.
I love this. I love them both thinking. And then Skull, Poverty's like, all right, man, Bulk gave me the greatest pickup line. It's like, I really dig the shape of your head.
Of course.
And she kind of thinks it's funny.
Yeah, because his name is Skull. Great. So duh. That's so
He's
duh.
Like, nice. Nailed it.
The shape of my head.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Yeah, her I'm head. Sorry. Like the shape of her head. Keep it PG, right? All right. Mm-hmm. But then you kind of realize, and then you start to realize that Skull is realizing that, oh, right. She's familiar with all of this stuff at this amusement park because she's done it before with someone else.
Someone hunkier.
Yeah. So.
Yes. Okay. Okay. This is a thing that I absolutely love, and I don't know if it's intentional, and I don't know if it was scripted or if the artist did it intentionally or accidentally, but the stuffed animal that Skull got and is carrying around and is with them throughout this whole thing always looks to me like it's reacting to what's happening. And it's especially obvious later when they're on the Ferris wheel.
Oh my god, you're right.
Oh, wait a minute, it was still with them on the Ferris wheel? Hold on.
And it's all like, oh my god.
It is.
It's got this look like, whoa, what?
I didn't know. I was wondering what was in between them, and I was like, oh, it's a stuffed animal.
It's amazing. It's the greatest thing.
And then when she goes and try to kiss him, the stuffed animal's like, hey, oh, crap.
Whoa, whoa,
what did you just say?
It's like, oh, what are you doing? What?
Do that.
Oh my gosh. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's great. Like, yo, even in the like last couple of panels, right? Like, yo, Skull is giving her the business, and then the stuffed animal's like looking like, oh, snap!
Yes, it's great.
Oh my gosh, this is the best Gold. Thing ever. This is the best.
The gift that keeps on giving.
Oh my gosh, Eleonora Carlini, you are a gift. You are a gift. I love you. I love you.
Yes.
You need to show up at a convention with Prince of the stuffed animal.
This I will needs say to it. Happen. Oh my gosh. So.
Legendary.
So yeah. In between that, right? There's some villain stuff that's happening. You know. The Black Lock, like, okay, sure, whatever, it's a thing, like,
you know, a lot of that, this, a lot of what she was doing in this issue, like, it was cool, and but it seemed like a little bit of spinning wheels to get to the end of the issue for the, like, big reveal.
Like, do we need a name for the Black Lock? Like, we didn't. It's fine, it's a lock, fine. You unlock it and you do your thing, like, whatever, nobody gives a damn. And I may have mixed up the whole Warriors thing with the previous issue, but whatever. Like, it's all the same. They get in there, you know, she got these monsters that she set up in there so that they could fight her off or whatever, blah, blah, blah. She the business, and she, and what's her name again? The other one? Adriel. Thank you. Because there's Alarion and there's Adriel. So, forgive me. But, you know, they fighting, they doing their thing. Women, you know,
women doing it for themselves.
I was going to say that. Yep. Couldn't think of the line. Thank you.
Or sisters are doing sisters. It for themselves, whatever it is.
Yep. Sisters are. Mm-hmm. And Babu is.
Babu. Oh, I love him smack talking Goldar. Awesome. He's like, when was the last time you actually want to fight?
Yo, like, it's the whole. Yeah, we talked about this last time. You know, again, maybe mixed up a couple of issues. Whatever. It's the thing I do. But Babu is out here trying to not look like a fool, or maybe he was trying to act like a fool, like the others were saying, this whole time, so that they're not under the impression that he really has a brain up there and he can be up to some things. So, you know, I'm just saying, man, they making Babu an actual impression.
I like that we're revisiting some backstory that was revealed earlier.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not just something that they just threw in and just, okay, that's it, we're done. It's actually coming into play.
Mm-hmm.
And like, it's people betraying each other with like valid reasons and like actually going into like deep detail. Cause like when it happens on the show, right? Sometimes it's usually awesome. I usually like that when the villains kind of double cross each other, but it's usually so simple.
Mm-hmm.
Just like, oh, I'm gonna take the power for myself. And then that's basically it.
Right.
Here, I don't know, like when Babu goes into like his whole people were assaulted and he was the only one who could do this or that. It's like, oh, this is kind of a deep like explanation as to why he's like this.
Right.
And what he's about to do. I don't know. I find this endlessly fascinating and it's far more than they ever needed to do. It's great.
It sort of takes the thing where in the show, like after, you know, 10 episodes of Goldar losing, you know, then the show is like, no, we're just going to have, you know, 100 episodes of that happening with no one questioning it at all. Here it's like, no, after a little bit of time, like it would, you know, again, this is not real life. Obviously, you know, you got giant gold monkey man running around. But it does add a bit of realism to the comics to say, no, we're going to question, hey, you don't like how this is going, right? I can help you change that. And to have, because Babu was always like in the background kind of doing his own thing. They were, especially in season two, he was just with Squat back there, like cackling, looking through little holes, like little holes. Like that's all they did. And reimagining that as, no, he's actually working behind the scenes to get everybody to betray Rita. I'm like, ooh, okay, all right.
I think it's kind of risky going to Goldar so early,
though.
Yeah, because he's supposed to, this is like season one Goldar, where he's like super loyal. So it seems a little dangerous, Babu.
But
I don't know what you're doing.
But if Gogo pays attention to what was happening in the one shots and like various different annuals and like the volume ones and whatever, and the volume twos, you know, they might be like, well. He really is really loyal to Lord Zedd now.
Oh.
It's really Lord Zedd that
Do we want to take all the one-shots as, like, actual things that actually happen? Because I always take those or like, well, separate stories.
I mean, hello, yeah. you saw the wife of Finsta? Clayda?
That's true.
Clayda?
That's true.
I think it depends on which individual story where it's on a case-by-case.
Whatever seems the story that they want to tell.
Well, it really comes down to some of them are just like I don't think Don't Get Derpy is like in continuity.
Don't think so. No.
It's but these ones like the ones that Trey Mora have done have clearly like are very much influenced by this. Yeah. Like obviously even the Goldar thing here is very much hearkening back to that story that he did about Goldar.
I'm just saying, like,
and we'll talk about what's in continuity with what with the next thing we talk about too. I have some thoughts about that.
Oh, child, you know, okay, stay tuned, child. So, let's see here. Let's go back to Rita. Let's go back to Rita, and you know, they fighting off some things, and then there's some other green looking, monsterly looking dude coming in here, about to kill off folks and whatever, and Rita's like, nah. Nah, I'm gonna handle you and everything. So, really, really, I'm gonna end off Rita and then I'm gonna trickle back down to Jason and Trini. So really, Rita is out here saying, "Listen, okay, I've been high. I needed a place. I don't ask me why this is the place that was the perfect place to hide this. But however, I'm just like, I like the little note of like, listen, y'all comic book fans, don't ask me why this particular place is where I'm going to hide the dragon going. Don't ask me. This is where I chose. So,
I'm sure they'll get into that.
Yeah. But, this is where I have my chance of destroying the Power Rangers, okay? And you have this dude, poor bone looking, skeleton looking dude holding, it looks like, yeah, it was holding the dragon dagger and then holding the power coin. Yeah.
So it's interesting to me because she also says, she's like, oh yeah, this could have an influence on me that I don't like. That's why I hit it here. I didn't just use it, which, you know, again, you know, you have to address that, like you said. So there's a good mystery here that, like, you could have a whole issue that's just about what went on with this and what this is all about. It's a very tantalizing look into what the future of the comic could hold.
And who is this skeleton man or woman who I guess was a Green Ranger before this?
Or use the powers in some way.
Yeah, what throne is this?
The fact that the Dragon Dagger is just there without, you know, because, like, we always assume, like, oh, you know, you need to be morphed to use those weapons. That it's just chilling there. To me, it's probably like some warrior that used that dagger and used the coin to, like, empower it or something like that. I don't know.
So
it's interesting.
It is. It very is. You know, this part, all the pre-Tommy stuff, like, this is all interesting, okay? Because, like, how did we get to this point is what I am more fascinated about, because we already have the post-Tommy stuff, and we even have the last Tommy stuff, which we'll get to in a moment.
Post-Tommy.
Trini and Jason. They see where Rita's teepee is, and but we must have a moment where she finds out that Jason's dad is sick. Mm-hmm. And Jason's like, no, I just didn't want to tell anybody. I tried, but I couldn't, and whatever, and the things, and the stuff, and kiss. Pretty much.
Good stuff.
Yeah. And not just one kiss on a page. Nah.
Multiple kisses. Nah. Passionate kisses.
She's pulling them in.
Across the totality of the universe.
Showing some muscle. Look at that muscle on Jason.
Some booty. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, there is. There is some ample booty. But it's okay. It's okay because you also get, like, a loving shot of Jason's muscles.
There's something for everybody.
So usually, you know, we hear, like, the voiceover from the next page from another person leading in, right? But the double entendre of that one where it says close. Finally. Yeah, that's what we're all saying.
We are here. Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So all right, so I'm guessing you guys like Go-Go. I'm guessing that's a thing.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
That we like.
Yeah.
It's a good run.
That's a thing.
It's the best.
It just delights me after, you know, we had our end of Super Ninja Steel discussion and all that I come back to Go-Go and I'm just like, oh, yes, this is the good stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I know, it's the thing that we can talk about that we like.
Yeah. Because everything that we're talking about today, I read basically all of it today. And I deliberately read Go-Go last because I knew it was going to be a thing that made me happy. And I needed it after some other stuff. So.
Oh, dear Lord.
Ooh, dang. All right.
Okay. But no, Ryan, you're doing the Lord's work. Okay. Eleonora, you are doing the Lord's work, okay? Everybody on this credits page doing the Lord's work.
Yes, they're the kings and queens of the Power Rangers line right now.
So, I just have to let y'all know that we appreciate you. We do so much. It's so good. It's just so good. So, you guys... we are moving on to Power Rangers Soul of the Dragon.
With special consultant, Jason Davis.
Just in case you didn't know. Just in case. So, yeah, we are finally here, you guys. It is the moment. When did we find out about this? Gosh.
This was a while ago.
Yeah, it feels like it's been forever.
I felt like early this year that we found out.
Yeah, we got like a listing on Amazon or something.
So, you know, it has been a very long time coming, you know? And this whole, like, oh, it's going to be the old man Tommy. I mean, the old man Logan. you know, it's going to be that version, blah, 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 blah. Like, and then we saw the cover of it. We're like, oh my gosh, this looks amazing. Okay, so overall thoughts.
I think it's good. I think some people were overhyping it because, one, it's Tommy, and also it's like, oh, cool, an original graphic novel, and oh, they have all these things. I think it's a very solid, enjoyable, fun story. I would not put it above Go-Go in any universe. But I think that, and I think what I find most interesting about it is that this comic has to take place in the TV continuity. Absolutely has to.
Yeah.
And that's what I like that, because I remember when, even when Boom first announced these comics and they showed like, oh, you know, the Rangers have smartphones and all that. And I'm like, no, I want the TV continuity. What Boom has done has been extraordinary, obviously, you know, with some exceptions, of course. But to have a comic that's so unabashedly in the TV continuity and playing with it so much in ways that I very much like, yeah, it's another Tommy-focused story and we're all kind of over that, right? But what they do with it and how they use it to flesh out the world and especially continue the world that we saw in SPD, I found absolutely delightful. I found the implications of what it did for the Power Rangers world to actually be more interesting than the story itself, which I thought was fine, but nothing extraordinary.
I see what you're
I would
saying.
Agree with that. I would agree with that a lot. Mm-hmm. Actually, like, it's more for like the world building and just the universe than for like the actual plot of Tommy doing a thing with
right
JJ like, and whatever.
Because you know what, I found it to be a little too much of a buddy cop situation story for me. Like, and I, you know me, like, y'all know me. I love me a procedural. What? Who? All the Law and Orders, all of them. Like, I love
this is kind of a Law and Order story, isn't it?
Huh. But this was like a procedural role, you know, with like, you know, with a special guest star. You know what I'm saying? Like, it felt a little buddy cop to me, like, you know, good cop, bad cop, the bad cop, the rugged old bad cop, he's just going in without thinking and you're just gonna go with Buster, like, you know, and then the good cop's like, wait, I don't even know, I'm new, you know, I can help you, and it... I have to say, I was a little disappointed. Disappointed.
Why do you say that?
Because I think out of everyone, for me,
the biggest Tommy fan,
being a bigger Tommy fan than the rest, right? And to me, it's just like, it just seemed as if it was a lot of, it had a little bit of problem that MMPR the 33 had, right? There are certain things I'm just like, we can tighten this up, like, there's certain things I want to know more about, and then there's certain things I'm just like, well, we don't need all these words. Like, we don't need... like, we don't.
I was super into the beginning with Tommy and Kat are in a loving relationship and no one else is in the picture. Title. I think, was it not YouSpy or somebody pointed out, it's like, hey, Kat had more words in one page in this than she had in the entire anniversary episode.
Exactly. Yep. Like, the first three pages, like...
Yeah,
she had characterization, she had a motivation.
There was Triforia and it was all, mentioned.
Yeah.
That was great.
I mean, everything is still in support of our King Tommy, but, you know, it works.
Yeah.
And it gives us a little more detail about what's going on in her life. Like, we get an update with her, and then we kick her aside, and it's still fine.
Yeah.
It's a shame. Like, why wasn't, like, that's the thing, right? Where it's like, we have to introduce this. See, yo, when they introduced that younger alien girl, whatever her name was, Inara.
Like, excuse me.
I was about to be like, is Tommy gonna be out with her? Like, what's happening here?
Oh, at the end though, right? Where he's like, spoiler. Like, he's at the end, and like, and Kat is hugging JJ, and Tommy is hugging the new chick, and then there's one panel that's without Kat, and then the same panel, Kat's looking at her like, hell for please.
This? Yeah, exactly.
Kat just walks up to Tommy and it's like, you know, I feel like we're more brother and sister. I gotta go. I did like, though, that there was no needless, oh, Kimberly moment. Like, there was the group photo
right.
of all the MMPR Rangers. But there was no, like, oh, man, remember Kimberly? Oh, she had such a big impact on me. It's like, nah, he forgot about her. He don't care anymore.
He's right. Moved on. He is married. He is happy.
Right. So the plot, right? And I'll just briefly.
Yeah. We don't have time to go beat by beat. It's a lot.
Tommy, it seems as if that they've moved to Newport City, question mark?
This New Texas Tech.
New Tech, sorry. Wow, my bad. So, yeah.
Bridge.
Yeah, so they've moved to New Tech City, you know, so they're in the SPD realm, and Tommy has been a teacher at Bridgeport Township High School for umpteen years. How many years? They said 10? I don't know. Let me forget. But so many years, and so now, like, the school is changing around, they're restructuring, and so Tommy's out of the job. He don't got nothing to do, yada yada yada, having this big old party. Goodbye, Tommy. Kick it with good Lord.
Cat's like, I'm gonna put you to work. We're gonna clean the house while I'm off on Triforia.
That's right. You know, put you to actual use. Okay. Rangers? Who cares? No. Clean them gutters, heffa. So that whole thing about him really retiring, that is what Cat wants him to do. Okay? Cat's like, homeboy, your back is jacked up. You need to retire. You need to rest. Okay? You see this beard? You see your beard? Hello? You are an old man.
Relax. You need to get that under control.
Okay? and so in that, in Tommy sending off Cat, doing it, they're discussing about how they are like, oh my goodness, have I done enough? Have we done enough as Rangers? Because, man, look at what all this SPD situation, officers, protection, this, that, and the third, like, all this is going on. Have we done enough? And she's like, yes. Bye.
Well, that's what we had.
Bye. I'm out. We've done enough. Go do something else with yourself. Okay. Right, so he is making sure that his, you know, his back is intact because ain't nobody got time, and so that's where you see more of the SPD influence of their technology and how they're helping out people with their ailments and that sort of thing. He is trying to contact JJ. JJ is being cagey. He's like, you know, I'm in SPD now, but you know, I can't tell you what's up, Dad, because you know we. You know, it's private business. Then you see Master Morpher is all cracked up from Tommy. Who, you wonder what's going on with that? Oh, okay, he has some prior battles, right? And that's why his back is jacked up, I guess. So, child. Then he find out that JJ missing, child. Because JJ been getting caught up. JJ got caught up. And What's his friend's name?
His friend.
Girl?
Yeah.
Anara.
Anara, yeah. So Anara.
Whose kid is she supposed to be?
What the F?
Is it Boom?
Because
that's what I thought when
she
I was
looked
reading.
A cushion to me. I always thought for sure she that looked, it was going to be Billy's kid.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was because I wasn't sure. I was like, because they talked about, like, oh, you know, technician or whatever. I'm like, is it? Because if it is Billy's kid, that'd be awesome.
Because she looked a cushion. That's what she. I was like, yo, she a fish for real. Like that was.
Yeah, she got like gills on the side of her face. Is that what that is?
Well, she's got the little bumps on her forehead.
Yeah, around the eyes and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So I thought
maybe
it was
like. But
since
she's only half, she doesn't have to wear that headgear.
Yeah, it wasn't as pronounced.
Yeah. Less horrible looking.
She's not like tilting her head all the time.
Stupid. And she speaks, and she doesn't sound like she's underwater all the time. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
We don't know that.
Well, I would expect them to, the letterers, to put a thing to
yes,
make
to
the
make it look bubbly. Different.
A little bubbly.
Can you imagine if she, like, just imagine all of her dialogue with her twitching her head and being with that equation filter?
Jeez.
Oh my gosh, that would be so horrible.
If I'm wrong about this, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. Tilting that. Right? So she's contacted him because she wants to find JJ, yo, and Tommy's like, oh. This is what's happening. All right. I'm going to go find JJ. And then the actual story, like, ensues. And we can, like, delve into, like, the, you know, different beats or whatever. But one of the things that that I was just like, okay, this is what we're doing. So, what's his name? Tommy calls Kat, right? And I think this is Tommy. Oh, and I'm probably skipping, but this is after where, like he initially calls Kat to say, hey, listen, all right, I haven't heard from JJ, you know, and then his friend is saying that he, you know, he quit and da da da. What's up? What's going on? Let me talk to Sky. You know, we did some stuff back in the day. Sky, the head of all this situation up in SPD, you know, let me go find out what's going on. So that was the first time. Then the second time that he calls Kat, he's all like, this is what I gotta do, and I gotta find my son, and blah, 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 and rage, 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 and there's hand gestures, and there's pounding of the chest, and whatever, and Kat's like, well, yeah, I agree with you. I was gonna say, just be careful, like, that's it.
Yeah, there seemed to be a lot of, again, spinning of wheels in this thing, where there's an interesting idea when Tommy's talking to Sky later, which I did like that Sky was a nice part of this comic, but it almost seems superfluous, this whole idea about, he's like, oh yeah, you know, being a ranger is the best, isn't it, Tom? And he's like, yeah, it is. But then at the end, he sort of gives up being a ranger, maybe. So again, there was a lot of things where you could have trimmed this down. This did not need to be 80 pages. Probably could have been closer to 60, I'd say. But I did like the little flavor of like, oh, look, he's talking to Sky. Like, Sky mm-hmm. is just a part of this world. He's leading SPD. Mm-hmm. So again, the world of what they're doing. But like, they have like a 5-6 page scene or whatever. I'm like, yeah, it didn't need to be this long.
Right. It didn't.
No.
At all.
Just about every, honestly, just about every dialogue scene felt at least twice as long as maybe it needed to be.
And I wonder if...
felt like it just went on and on. I was like, can we... go.
It's almost like, did they want to, this was going to be like an extended, like 1-2 issue thing. And then like, no, we're going to do a graphic novel, but it's got to be longer, make it 80 pages. And then we'll just add issue 1 at the end to fill it out.
Yeah. I don't know. I just feel like, you know, Higgins has been good at, especially when, you know, MNPR started with that whole like getting into backstory and building up characters and that sort of thing. So he's been good at that. I just don't understand why this also wasn't a thing. You know, like a lot of, I mean, if you think of this scene, the one with Kat, the one, you know, there's a bunch of stuff that's like in the bar. Like there's certain things that could have been trimmed down that you can insert, like, all right, so they fought, like, when? Like, when? Like, we know, like, we know. There's certain mm-hmm. things that we know. But, like, for the folks that are picking this up for the first time, okay, well, but when? And what, you know, like, what exactly, you know, Sky is hiding something, but then he doesn't come back, does he?
Yeah, like, well, I guess he does show up. I guess he's SPD Red end. At the yeah. end.
Is he SPD yeah. Red or is he the Doggy Kruger?
Oh, well, this was a question, because when he shows up, at first he's wearing this sort of blue uniform thing. And I was wondering, what was that? Was that to signify anything?
Or maybe that was just the general command uniform at that time?
Why? I mean, honestly, if he's
and later on,
Red Ranger, why?
We also do see an SPD. It looks like the SPD 3, whoever has the 3 thing, was a girl and was blue later on in like the background of one of the panels.
Because if we're going by the show, Bridge was moved from green to red.
Yes.
Sky was moved from... yeah. Red to what's his nuts to doggy status
shadow.
So yeah, shadow. So he must be doggy.
So yeah, so maybe he's shadow, and that's Bridge we saw in red.
So
huh.
So yeah, that's what
so
I
that's
assume.
His like shadow esque uniform.
Maybe yeah.
I guess?
Right, because remember, okay. Doggy, you know, he had a little extra lapel situation going on. You know, Ian. So, but he was a dog, so he had to like.
The dog comedy.
There's
I guess
a
I
lot
would
of...
have expected design wise for them to have something that emulated that uniform.
Yeah.
rather than, because to me, I look at that and I just think, oh, he's the Blue Ranger here. And then, but then I think, well, he's got this stuff on his face that wasn't there before.
Right.
So it's not. I don't know. I don't know. I got confused by the art, and I'm going to say I'm not the biggest fan of the art.
It's not bad. You know what I mean? Like, it's not like, you know, eyeliner or anything like that, but
right.
But it does, as it's even looking at the art from issue one, from the MMPR issue one that they included as an extra here, you're like, oh, that looks so much better.
Yeah, this is a dramatic difference. You disagree, like, but
I do disagree. I think I like this art a little bit better. I mean, I think Tommy, the character design, I'm not really a fan of. But, I mean, overall, I like the art. It's fine.
I have to say, I think it might be that maybe the coloring is off. Maybe. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like,
you know, like the future art. Blue tint.
Like, I didn't have a problem with the art. I was just like, you know, no. Of course, there's certain panels and pages that look better than others. Sure, of course. You know.
Oh, yeah. Like, I mean, there's selective ones. Like, when he first enters the bar, I think that looks really cool. But again, it's another thing of like, oh, there's a lot of creatures and like stuff that's not really recognizable as like just life or even stuff from the show. Like when we get to Ranger action, some of that just kind of
not the strongest.
It's just okay, you know.
Not the strongest, but you know, it's something that it didn't offend me. You know what I'm saying? Like, it didn't, was like, oh my gosh, this is crazy, you know.
And kind of jumping around a little bit, going back to our man of the hour Finster, right? I love this idea that they introduced, that it's like, oh yeah, in the year since Zordon's energy wave purified my soul. I'm like, that's an interesting thing that he didn't turn to dust. I wonder what the reason for that is. Like, that's an interesting hinting at thing that they don't really have time to delve into. But I'm like, huh.
But really, I mean, think about it, right? It was, like Rita and Zed, they went from these, I guess, the evil alien form beings to, like, humans. And so maybe these other aliens, instead of going to humans, I guess, they were just kind of, they're still themselves, but, like, not evil. Or not, you know.
Some of them got turned to dust and some of them didn't. We just didn't see it all.
Yeah,
it's interesting who got spared.
I guess some of them could have just been monsters that were just made. Right.
That's true, yeah.
Right. I thought like
so actual, I'd assume all of them just gone.
Yeah, like I thought actual characters that we care about
were so unless you're a Ecliptor. Sucks to be you.
Yeah, I mean Ecliptor was like ground zero.
It was like already a not a good guy, but at least, you know, better.
He was
than
more honorable than some of these other people. Like, yeah. Zed,
and kill his wife, Finster.
Be, yeah.
An accident.
Then, you know, domestic abuse Finster right there. Like, come on. What it was, he killed her.
He's guilty. He has got blood on his hands. He should not be alive.
Absolutely. He's absolutely evil. Like, just complete, just demented.
But just the idea that, like, Finster is chilling in this place, probably doesn't go out that often, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And he sort of has, a friendship of sorts with Tommy. I feel like Tommy's, like, the guy who, like, checks in on him. He's like, yo, man, you, like, you keep it up with your parole, Finster?
But think about it. Remember, right? The Shattered Grid situations, right? You had Lord Draken and Finster 5.
Kyle Higgins has a fascination with like the relationship between Tommy and Finster, I think.
But I mean, this has to be TV continuity just because of what they established, like all that stuff with Drakon. And I mean, unless there are other things we learn.
Yeah.
Like this to me, it has to be, it's nebulously in the future of the TV show, you know, like however X amount of years, however old Tommy is, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I do.
There you go.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to jump to another point, see if you had something to say about this.
I was just going to say this is probably my favorite aspect of this thing was really just the Finster deal. And, like, when they come back later and find he's dead, But then one of his creations is like a sort of copy of him to leave a message to Tommy. And he's like, oh, maybe this is our penance or something like that.
Oh, that was awesome. That was great.
That was a nice touch, yeah.
And he's like crumbling. That's all. That was great.
Yes, yes, yes. And I think it speaks to, if there is a theme intentionally of this book, the idea of like aging and like the passage of time and like what we leave behind or what our legacy might be or what our, you know, what our final thing is or can be.
Enough?
And if Tommy, his thing is like, is my final act going to be not being a ranger, you know? Like maybe he's kind of like a death seeker and that like he does want to die in these fights, you know? He wants to go out in like a blaze of glory, but he learns like, oh no, like I can pass that on to my son and I can just, you know, hang out with Kat. And, you know,
that is such
gutters.
A Tommy mindset.
But again, there is a little bit of the wheel spinning with like, okay, he has to get in fights where he uses his powers so he can see all the different powers. And like, that's cool. Yes. That's fine. And there's the mystery like, oh, is it Rita? Oh, no, it's actually Scorpina. Like that's some interesting things going on, of course. Mm-hmm. But again, it's wheel spinning.
Down.
Yeah.
And okay, so it's called Solo the Dragon. I'm not sure why exactly.
Yeah, there's no...
Other than it's, just, you know, Green Ranger.
Soul of the Tommy? Wasn't as catchy a name?
I don't know. But
on the nose.
If the comic is that long with so many pages, I guess I would have thought maybe you want to do like a sword thing. Like summon the dragon sword.
Yeah. Explain what happened to that thing.
Well, think about it, right? Soul of the Dragon. Not only we're thinking, well, this is going to be about dragon swords and just Green Ranger all the time, all day, every day. Not only was it the final ranger that he morphed into. He didn't even morph into. Okay? He gave it to his son, right? And so this whole lineage of the Green Ranger, in a sense, is being passed down. It's like literally their souls as them being Green Ranger. That's what I saw. It's not necessarily like, well, we're gonna delve deep down into what really the origin of Soul of the Dragon is. It's really like, well, you know, the soul is not only just within me, it's in with my son, and he's the new Green Ranger, and I'm old, I'm retiring, goodbye.
My wife has no soul. She does not get to have a cool focus.
No. Yeah.
She doesn't.
When we get to the end, she shows up, but she doesn't morph for anything.
Yeah, where's her master morpher?
Exactly.
Nope.
We're just twice morpher. Now. Like, at all.
Zeo, what's that, a Zeo crystal something, not some anything.
Or like in Super Ninja Cell, she had her turbo powers. Like, that's fine. Like, you know, it's morph something.
Yeah, that's another thing. It's like, okay, it's so long, right? The book is so long. But then you have Blue Centurion. You have like,
he's there.
Why?
That comes off to me like, oh, he's a cop from the future, so he should be in here. I'm like, no, he's from the future.
I mean, my complaint, really, honestly, isn't that they're there. It's that they're there and don't do anything. That's really like we don't even really see them fight. They just show up as like backup, and then that's.
They're
to
in
Tommy.
One panel, it's pretty fine. Much.
I mean, compared to the 25th anniversary thing that we got, where we have like 20 people that we saw and they did nothing, like three in the background, it's fine.
Yeah, but
here is again that Catherine is showing up to fight.
Okay? Exactly.
Which and she, he even mentions, well, you know, the Zeo coin, you know, the Zeo powers get stronger as the years go by.
I did like that.
So homegirl could bust out the Zeo! Hello?
Yeah. That episode is a 20-minute thing, and this is like 50 billion pages. You can't spare any.
And it's interesting, right? I was talking
soul
about this
cat?
On Twitter.
You can't do nothing, something like, you know, we just give us. We don't even need the soul. We just get the cat. Like, can we just a little bit?
It's just, yeah.
Tomcat style. Like, we need to see it.
Tomcat. That was mentioned.
Tomcat.
The ninth life of cat.
I mean, she deserves that's a cool backstory book. Like, she was created, or she was, like, you know, had all that influence by Rita and stuff. Like, yes. She has the same kind of tortured backstory that Tommy does. Yes, Where's her focus? Yes.
Why isn't Kyle Higgins pumping out the Cat comics?
Yeah, that's my thing, is that Cat has the same kind of potential as Tommy to do the exact same kind of stories, but they always pass her up in favor because, you know, yeah, Tommy's the most popular. Okay. I get it, but wouldn't it have been interesting if, with the Soul of the Dragon, like, you know, Tommy's doing all this angst and stuff and hanging out with, like, you know, like a 20-year-old or whatever, and then Kat is like...
doing the Kat same thing, like, on Triforia?
Kat's like, yo, Tommy, I went through the same thing you did. You always acting like you're special and you're all, like, angsty about it, but I'm living my life just fine. You need to get over yourself.
Oh my God.
Kat is hanging out with some triplets on Triforia. Yep.
That's right.
Triplets. Super hey, cool. Hey, about three times is cute. Three times is cute.
Yep. All right. Can we talk about JJ's friend? What's her name? I always forget.
Anara. Whatever her name is.
Anara.
A lot of vowels on these ladies.
There's a lot of A's going on. What's up with all these A's?
Let's talk about the friend for a moment. I like her, however.
Butterface?
Wow. Wow. Misogynist, aren't we? No.
You just wish that she smiled more, right? That's right.
Jeez.
I like her, however, as we're talking, I kinda wish that it was Tom and Kat looking for their son, and Kat going through whatever she going through, and, you know, and smacking him around and telling him off, and that,
yeah, that's
thing
true.
The third, and, like, yeah, you morph, but I can morph too, boo. And what? Ow. Oh, you burning off your power coins? I ain't. Ow.
Yeah. What if it was that Kat's? Wouldn't this be great? Kat has a morpher, totally fine. Totally works. She chooses just not to use it for whatever reason. Tommy has his cracked morpher that will kill him or whatever, and he's, like, so ready to use it. And Kat is like, you need to sit the hell down. And I mean, honestly, there's this idea that it's like, oh, Tommy, like, this guy can only get to have his cool adventure when his wife's not home. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, she's sort of, it's like, hey, go do your thing, right? Like, it's not totally like, yes. Oh, I can't let my wife know that I'm doing this. Like, she's totally in favor of what he's doing, but it's just the idea, like, oh, we got to get the wife out of the way so he can hang out with, like, a hot young thing.
Hot. Yeah.
Like, yeah. Look, I mean, like, that's the thing, is that he's hanging out with a younger woman.
Yeah.
Like, he's hanging out with a younger woman. This happens in storytelling all the time, that an older character mm-hmm. has to hang out with a younger woman. Mm-hmm. This happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. And she's, like, impressed by him and his whatever.
Right.
And he's quote unquote manly because he doesn't give up or da da da, even though he's breaking and he whatever.
Let's not talk about his logic. Let's not. But the reason why I do like the girl is because she would tell him off. They'd be like, yo.
I did like, yeah, she wasn't just like, oh my gosh, wow, Tommy, you're so great. Like, there's not like the 25th anniversary.
As much as I need you, so let's roll. Like, I was like, okay, we fine.
But I thought all Power Rangers would trust Tommy. That's what Super Ninja Steel told me.
But that's the thing. It's just like I liked her. It's just now I'm like, crap, this could have been Kat. This could have been Kat. Like, we could have had the couple and how they deal with, like, wow, like, we're now a team of two, we're not a team of six, and how do we do this, and how do we...
And if Kat had more power in the situation, like, she could morph whenever she wanted to and it wouldn't kill her, mm-hmm. that would have been a nice dynamic to play with. Mm-hmm. Like, Kat is the powerful one, and Tommy has to deal with the fact that he can't be the leader anymore, and he can't be the lone wolf anymore. She's like, Tommy, we're married, you can't do this crap anymore.
Yeah. Like, we got a child, okay, and we've got another one on the way. Like,
Tom, I'm pregnant, and you're the father again.
It's a little late, Kat. It's a little late.
No. This time she's expecting triplets. That's all I gotta say.
See Tommy and Kat on Maury.
Tommy, you are not the father.
He does a little shimmy down the aisle, like, what? Stupid. So it's a little, but let's deal with what we see is that this chick is like saying, giving him information about what's currently going on right now. This ain't the 90s, okay? Like, you knew everything back in the day. You knew everything about baggy jeans and cutout shirts, okay, and mullets. This is now. I'm letting you know about New Tech City. This ain't Angel Grove. This is New Tech City, okay? I mean, let you know. So really what they end up finding out is that JJ did not necessarily quit SPD, but he was deep undercover to find out about this gang situation, because this witch over here is selling powers and junk to these gangs, these rivaling gangs and all the things. And dumb old Tommy, okay, and dumb old young chick blew up his spot. Just blew up the whole spot, the undercover situation, everything. You know, and I have to say that, sure, if to have a comic progress into like, all right, and we find out an answer, and then we lose, and then we find out an answer, and then we lose, and then we find out an answer, and then we lose. I get it, right? That's what we're supposed to kind of keep us intrigued, yeah? It's just the way, like, Tommy's really dumb.
I guess for me, the first thing that I considered was that he was undercover. So like there was no real sense of surprise there. It was just sort of, oh yeah, yep. You know. Yeah.
It just seemed as if, okay, yes, sure. The emotion of you losing your kid might want you to think like, no, I gotta save my kid. However, like, you've been a ranger for like 5 billion years, my brother. Like, you ain't never heard of people being undercover? Like, you see your son, right? You don't even like say, yo, let me hang back and see what's up. You just like, nope, that's JJ, let me just go. And like, what are we doing? Like, it just seemed really dumb. Like, even for, and I don't read that many comics, but even for comic books, I'm just like, that seemed really brash, really not something that like even a veteran person would be like, all right, let me kind of hang back. Again, buddy cap. So buddy cap situations, you have one person who isn't as rational, but you know, gets the job done. And you have the younger one or the other one that, you know, might think a little bit more and whatever. So, like, yeah, it falls under that type of story where the one who ain't thinking just kind of, like, bulldozes his way through the situation. So, yeah.
I would have liked to get to know JJ in some way. Rather than kind of just think of him as like the legacy character who's just, you know, he is a fighter guy, you know.
That's kind of what I know about him. He leaves his bike outside of the house all the time and doesn't put it away.
Yeah, that's amazing character development.
I wonder when this comic was developed in relation to that team up special. Like, which came first? Were they developed at the same time? Something, because I mean, we know it was done a while back. It feels like it's another thing of Boom, like being like, oh, this TV show kind of dropped the ball. So, like, let's actually do something with that Master Morpher. Okay, let's go.
Yeah, I would almost want to assume that it might have been in tandem, you know?
Maybe.
Because, you know,
because it would have been great if we had seen a little bit more of JJ there. Like, I mean, yeah, he was a little kid, but still, like, something.
Well, that wasn't going to happen on the TV show, so that's not happening.
Yeah.
Wow.
But yeah, in the comic too, I 100% agree that getting some more of JJ so that we care. I mean, he does get little moments, like when he's talking to Scorpina later, and he's like asking her, and she's like laying out all the story, and then Tommy jumps in. He's like, "Yeah, man, I've been having her monologuing for like 5 minutes." I'm like, "Okay, that's funny. That's good."
Boy, if it wasn't for that joke, bro, like I would have been so mad.
I was so ready.
I was so ready.
That lampshade of it, I'm like, okay, it's fine. Because at first I'm like, yo, Scorpina, really? Like really?
Like, we really fall into this archetype of like, I'm gonna tell you everything that could have been a flashback.
It was more like, let me, this person who's being held hostage, randomly just ask you, even though I shouldn't really care that much at this point, where have you come from and what is your backstory? And I'll just sit, why do I care?
Like, you are going to die anyway. Bye. So goodbye.
I'm going to waste my breath.
Like dealing with the dangling thread of whatever happened to Scorpina is like completely legit. I love them tying in Lokar. Lokar was always such a big thing in the original show that they introduced and then just kind of forgot about. Mm-hmm. And what I find very interesting is that Lokar is not dealt with by the end of this issue. Lokar is still out there. So this comic was ended in such a way that it's like, oh, we could have old man Tommy too. You know, we could have Soul the White Tiger next.
Oh gosh, Jesus.
But you know what I mean? Like, there could be more. There could be, or Lokar, they're always talking about with Scorpina, like, oh, it's out of time and I came out at the wrong time. I'm like, Lokar could have more to do in the comics, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, that would be cool.
All right, like, I'm gonna jump in, y'all. Okay, so I have to say that the whole notion that JJ is the sacrifice, right? Great, awesome. Yeah, like, into the fire, awesome, great. So then Lokar appears and he's like, all right, boom, where my sacrifice at? And she's like, and Scorpina's like, I'm not ready. Even though you can see JJ still tied up, he's right there, hasn't moved, still there, look at me, JJ's right here, and he's like, I'm not ready, I'm sorry, and then Lokar takes her instead. No, suck up the boy, suck up the boy.
And he says he's gonna return when I return next. It's like, oh, so I guess you have another plan then.
The boy's right there, the boy.
This for me, it felt like a typical comic book thing to do, which is villains don't really fully get defeated. They only get moved aside for the next 5 minutes so that they can come back 5 minutes later and everybody can act surprised, even though they shouldn't be, because this has happened 37 times before. I just can't say I'm terribly pleased with these kinds of endings. I want an actual ending. I don't like this idea that the bad guys just keep going forever and ever and ever and it just never stops.
It always feels like, especially with something like Lokar, they don't want to, like, quote unquote, like, just kill him. Well, no, not even quote unquote, like, they just don't want to kill him in this book because, like, oh, he's too big of a villain, like, we gotta, you know, save him for later. But it's like,
I'm okay with Lokar.
Yeah, sure. But with Scorpina, like, they could have killed Scorpina, like, straight up. Just kill her.
Yeah.
They set all this up to explain where she's been, and now they're going to take her away again. Like, where'd she go? Like, now it's a whole other comic that we get to write.
Yeah, this really feels like they're kind of hedging their bets. Like, oh, maybe people will like the Tommy only comics, and then we'll do more Tommy only comics.
Well, I'm sure they will.
And by the way, I'm just looking at JJ being the Green Ranger and...
Oh, that was so... Oh, I thought you were about to talk about the end.
The actual Green Ranger and not that abomination. That was the last page. And the diamonds are missing on his suit. So,
oh, are they?
They are. Oh. It's incorrect. just a little note.
And also no silver stripes, so you know, it's really, really bad. Ooh.
Well, that was correct, so let's not.
Now would be the time to put them in, though, because it's like, the it's JJ, right? It's
ew,
the
new one. Ew. Bye.
Bye-bye. Ew.
Ew. So,
the stripes are great.
Yeah, before the last page, though, I'm going to repeat myself again. My two favorite panels is Tommy hugging up on the young fat.
Yep.
Cats are coming in. Side eye.
He's like, excuse me.
And he said, I always had fantastic partners.
Really?
Especially the pink ones.
Yeah.
I just love that, like, you were the fantastic. Same drawing. Yeah. She just slides in. She's like, oh, excuse me.
She's like, another one, huh?
Yo, Tommy, we talked about this. We almost got a divorce like 10 years ago over this.
I'm just going to pull this trick aside real quick. Right after you.
She just goes up to Inara. She's like, sweetie, Pink is out. Just kicks her off the boat. I don't care that you're Billy's kid.
I'm the one with the muscles and the power. Get off my boat. Kicks her off. Oh, Lord. Oh, it's great. Oh, it's great. But yeah.
And then we get that garbage final panel.
That's the devil. Like, that's the
that was like, oh, we get it.
So that's just wrong. That's wrong. It's wrong. It's wrong.
And is that supposed, is it the 3 logo on that, or is it supposed to be the 1? On his, because you know the SPD have all the numbers.
It's got to be the 3, right? Because they don't change the number.
They don't.
I guess, yeah. But
and he's still new. He ain't number one yet. So
yes, he's the rookie with like the ultimate like special upgrade thing.
Tommy's son.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah. The SPD officer we saw in the battle earlier. I think it's the Blue Ranger, so it's a 2. It kind of looked like the 3. I was wrong there, but it's a girl, so you know, girls are allowed to be, they're allowed to get promotions.
Sid is working her way up.
That's right.
He's like 20, whatever, like 40 years 40 later. Years later, Sid. Is that 2? Oh my god. So I, sort of like an overall summation here, I was saying this on Twitter after it first came out, I would say that going forward, this should be what, like, an average Power Rangers story is for the whole franchise. It's fine. It's fun. It has problems, but it's good. It's good. But when this came out, everyone's like, "Oh man, it's amazing! Oh, it's so much better than the show." It's like, all right, let's not. You know, our expectations shouldn't be so low, right?
Yeah, no.
This is perfectly fine popcorn-y entertainment. You know? Do you guys know what I'm saying here?
Yeah. I mean, I would have to say maybe out of the 4 of us, I was the most disappointed, I guess. Mm-hmm. You know? I mean, except for the key points here. I mean, like, hello, Tommy and Kat are in a relationship. Okay, like, let's just, okay.
Love it forever.
Okay. Kim's not in the picture, okay? Like, let's,
the essential aspect.
Kim is in the picture. She's in the picture.
She's in the actual photograph. Yes.
Look at his photograph.
His thumb touches her.
I was thinking about that.
I was like, someone's gonna look at that and be like, see, he's still loves her.
Still pines for her.
Oh Lord, but yeah, I think that I don't know if it's because it was getting so much hype in the beginning, and then it didn't live up to it for me. But yeah, I felt like this could have been edited more. We could have gotten some more character stuff. We could have gotten crap. I mean, I hate to say it too, but we could have gotten like better character stuff from Tommy himself. You know, it just seemed like it was, I have been arranged for all this time. I am angry that my son is gone. I am angry that Sky didn't tell me. I'm angry that this chick is on my back, this new kid. What's the, but then you know I like her now, shoot. And but there really isn't anything that I learned about Tommy. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm making sense.
I get what you're saying.
You learned, like, okay, what's going on in his life now? Sure. But there's nothing, like, tangible. There's nothing new, per se, that's like,
well. It skirts up against that idea that Adam had and always a chance of, like, oh, if you're a ranger and you have to give it up or you have to stop doing it, like, it's really hard to do that. And, you wrestle with some things. But it doesn't really. The ultimate resolution is, oh, I just am not going to be a ranger now. Okay, that's cool.
Well, you have no choice, Heifer. You burn all your coins. It's not a hard choice to make.
Well, I think the comic is trying to use the burning out as like a metaphor for like a different kind of burning out. Like
it's supposed to contrast with like his whole, like his doctor's like, yo, you need to take it easy, yo.
Sure.
Yeah, like you have to relax and let other people do like, I mean, that goes into the whole thing of like he breaks up the thing that JJ is doing, but because he's trying to get involved instead of just let him handle it.
Yeah.
Okay.
So really, the whole lesson of the comic is Tommy needs to sit down. Got it.
Yeah. Have a seat.
Beautiful. A+.
So his bullish
you did it.
Ways.
You did it, Higgins.
Yeah.
You did it.
Thanks. His bullish ways are, in a sense, his vulnerability, and he needs to sit down.
Yeah.
He needs to sit down and let other people, younger other people, handle their business.
Yes.
And figure out their lives, because you ain't gonna be around here all the time, because you burning through coins. Anybody got time for that? Okay. I mean, I can give you, I don't know, I just feel like certain things were on the nose, certain things were okay, like I don't know, to me this story didn't leave me with, man, yo, that's the end of Tommy, yo, like whoo. I feel relieved. Like I feel.
Tommy's never gonna have an ending.
I was gonna say, like, it will never end.
Yeah, I mean,
we're gonna
have Tommy
adventures beyond the grave.
It would be wonderful if this was like a actual putting to rest. Like this is it. This is okay. Fine. Call this the definitive Tommy story. Then after this, it's all new stuff. But
I don't feel satiated. I don't feel like I don't. I still have more questions than answers. You do, you see what I'm saying? Like, yo, like he just randomly showed, he like, why New Tech City? Why he moved to New Tech City? I'm saying, like, what, like there's so many things that I just think, and I get it, right? You can't tackle everything in one graphic novel, but if there's other portions of this novel that could have been cut and could have been trimmed or whatever, maybe we could have fit in some of the things of how he got to where we got to. And then while I care about him losing his job again, like I don't know. It didn't stick with me, and I'm saddened. Because now I want a true definitive Tommy story.
Look, I'm just saying, you'll get Soul of the White Tiger. You'll get Soul of the White Ninja. Then you'll get Soul of the what's it, Hawk, Eagle, whatever the hell that was in Zio. And then you'll get Soul of the Red Car, and then Soul of the Lightning Cruiser, and then you'll get Soul of the Black Brachiosaurus, and then you'll be good.
Soul of the Brachiosaurus. Okay, all right.
Then circle back around to Soul of the Dragon too.
Oh yeah.
Electric Boogaloo. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So I mean, I will say again, as I talked about a little bit earlier, you know, repeating myself a little bit, is that
what we never do that here.
Is that with the world that this sets up, it proves to me that it's like, hey guys, look, you can use the world of Power Rangers and use it for a really fantastical backdrop. Not like what MNPR is doing, where we feel the need to create a whole new universe or like, you know, place in space or whatever. Is that we can use the tapestry that PR weaved and tell interesting stories using it as a framework. Again, the framework of SPD here is fantastic, or Cat mentioning Triforia or things like that. I would love the comics to move in that more of a direction and to do stories that are very clearly within the TB universe. Boom has always done this very cagey thing where, unless you really read all the interviews or you really look deeply, they try not to mention too much, oh, this is its own universe, it's not in continuity with the show. They actually go out of their way to not talk about it. So the fact that this story is so clearly has to be set in the TV universe is like, we should do more stories that are, this is in the Boom continuity and this is in the TV continuity. I would love to see more of that distinction.
I would. Just, you know, not Tommy next time.
Yeah. Soul the cat, please. Like, legitimately.
Or just, you know, like it's team. Because, hey, Power Rangers, it's a team. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'm stuck on this. Like,
we could have RPM 2. You know, so I don't know. You know, something. RPM going up against Vengeance again. I don't know. Something.
Yeah. Anything that's not... I mean, if you can do solos. I'm not saying you never can, but just, you know... maybe not with the extremely overused one.
I think Trey Moore set up Soul of Astronema. That could be something. It doesn't always have to be Soul Love, right? But, you know...
like our Forevers, like every team up that we ever got after Forever Red, we were like, well, we need a Forever this. So,
I want a Forever Villains. Give me some of that.
But, before we end out, I will have to say that one thing I forgot to mention. Alara? What's her name? Horrible.
A-name?
A-name? Yeah. She kept, like, in the beginning of the thing, even before we met her, right? You know, they were like, Dr. Oliver, you know, you have contributed so much to this school and blah, blah, blah. This new chick was like, yo, Mr. Oliver! Mr. Oliver! Like, yo, put some respect on his name. He's a doctor.
He is a doctor.
But she just kept calling him Mister. I'm just like, yo, like, at no
point. Does she know he's a doctor?
She know that he's been a ranger and she's JJ friend. So.
Well, right. I think she's saying it in the same way that you would say to somebody's parent, like a friend's parent. If you know their last name, you just automatically say Mr.
I'm sorry. If I had, which I do, I have friends and they're actual doctors. And
I refuse to call them doctors.
Yo, you know how what they had to do to get that doctor? You'll put some respect on that name.
All right. Dr. Narvi?
Exactly.
Yep.
Respect. Am I your patient? We're good.
Could have been Dr. O. You could have rolled in with a Dr. O. There was no Dr. O. Come on.
That would have been weird. She doesn't know I'm like that. Ew.
See, let me say, I will also say that even with the flaws that this comic had, we still had our jokes about it, though, right? Like, there was enough there that we could have some fun jokes and then point out the good things and also bad things, but also have our jokes.
Well, sure. Yeah, it was enjoyable. It wasn't like...
Yeah, like, it was fun.
Chore.
No.
Because it's like with the show, when we talk about it, it's like there's not even jokes anymore. It's just like, wow, this sucks. Here it's like, no. Yo, it's not like the greatest, but it was fun. And also, let's make some jokes about Tommy and Kat. Like, see?
I liked it. I didn't have as much of a problem as it might come across with our critiques, but I enjoyed it.
Oh, yeah. It was a fun ride.
Yes.
And it's, we as fans, you know, especially on a podcast, it's easy to nitpick, right? Or talk about the negatives. But overall, it's still a fun time.
Yes, I mean, I want to make it clear because I did make a comparison between this and like the TV crossover episode that happened this year. Mm-hmm. There is no this is better.
Well, like, duh, like, come on.
This is an actual story. I just want to make it clear because some people can sometimes think like somehow because I made one little comment like this is a million times, this is far better. It cares about characters in so many different ways that episode just would never have tried.
That is not even up for discussion. Like,
we're actually rating this as if it were a real story, you know?
yes. It's on a different scale.
Like, there's no curve here, you know?
Yeah, like.
Yeah.
Oh bye. Like, that's no.
This is this. I'm rating this story against other Power Rangers stories in seasons that I like.
And the comics.
Yeah, in the
comics realm, yeah. So the comics, like, legit, with some exceptions, the comics are amazing and are carrying the banner right now.
Pretty much.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, oh my gosh, that the I forgot to talk about the design of the altered Green Ranger from that I don't know if
it was the gem.
That was another thing. Actually, I felt kind of half-baked.
For me, to be honest.
Yeah, but it's like, here you go, this one thing once, and that's it. I guess when he first changed into like this altered thing, right? I guess I expected that to be brought up more or involved more, like we'd see other ones or something. It was like we were being introduced to something that could be brought up more, or like part of a world, but then story's over. Mm-hmm. I don't know.
For next time.
So all the White Tiger, it'll start with all the kids in Alpha's Magical Christmas, and that'll be the angsty backstory. It'll be great.
Oh boy. So listen, Soul of the Dragon, people should read it. People should read it. That is what I would tell people. You should read it. It's out in stores now. Go cop yourself that Soul of the Dragon. And I just, you know, I think that Higgins, you have done such a good job with starting out this whole MMPR comic realm universe situation, doing well.
Yes.
Take a break. And then you could come back.
Is that what's going to happen?
And then you could come back.
Take
a break and then come back.
People have been placing bets about whether or not he's actually done.
Say that again.
I said people have been placing bets about whether or not he's actually done,
Like,
are we just setting up for the comeback?
Yeah, so...
We're just giving him time to build up the next cycle.
You know, we already said farewell.
But we didn't have all the information at the time.
So, you know, just take a break. You know?
Yeah, I would love if, and I, you know, again, as much as we have our problems with MPR, I'm glad they gave another writer a chance on it. I would like to see a different writer now, personally.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe get some more ladies in there. Give women more of a chance.
Women more a chance. You know what? Women who know more about Power Rangers, no shade, but like, you know, like.
Why don't you call, maybe not for the main line, or maybe for the main line, I don't know. I'm surprised they are like, why don't you call Jackie in to write a comic or two, you know?
Don't get me started. Yo, that would be amazing. But that depends if Jackie wants to do it.
She can specially consult. It's okay.
Yeah, we're special consultants. Jackie Marsh.